This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, good Wednesday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio, and it's Wake Up Call. So you ready? Because Thursday night, it really starts kicking in. And what I'm talking about is preseason overreaction. Yeah, then we're going to get that because, you know, the Patriots are playing against Washington. You got the Eagles against Pittsburgh. Look, the Hall of Fame game, Dallas and the Steelers, throw that away because that was just a fun little exhibition for the ceremonies that were going on this weekend. What you're going to get now is serious analysis from people who are like, I don't know what's going on. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? If indeed that's what your team is dealing with. You know, it's something that we do, and there's nothing wrong with that because I do think there is some clues that you can take away from when you're talking about these teams. I mean, look, the Denver Broncos, for example, are in a quarterback battle, and Vic Fangio came out yesterday and said Drew Locke is going to start Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings. But before you jump to the conclusion that Drew Locke was going to be the quarterback on the regular season opener, he came right back and said, oh, and Teddy Bridgewater will start in the second preseason game. Now, look, three preseason games, five preseason games, seven, I don't care. But you are going to, it's going to be a little bit more intense given the three. The four was always a throwaway game anyway, but I think you're going to see coaches really start to show a little bit more what they want and what they're looking for in these preseason games. Just enough fodder for us to sort of have something to chew on, if you will, in the month of August. I don't know how many people will, you know, look over at New England and see maybe Mac Jones get some playing time against Washington Thursday night and lead to any sort of analysis. Preseason is very difficult to do that. In the end, it is about what's going on in training camp. It is about what's going on in the team room. It's about what's going on in terms of breaking down film. And it's basically the coach's decisions on quarterbacks, who is going to be the best guy to win some games once the season starts. And that may not be something you see at all in the preseason. All right, coming up next, the college football coaches poll was released, and it's my yearly reminder that it may not matter at all, but it does matter for something, and it does have a little bit of value, and I'll tell you what that is coming up. And we'll also get to Luka Doncic signing his big contract and the rush to make him a face of the league. Well, you got to hold off on that for a second. We'll have that for you coming up as well. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Wednesday to you as we continue along with Wake Up Call. So Alabama, the number one team in the nation, what a shocker that was
yesterday.
Shocker. Huh? I mean, the coaches just went on a limb with that one.
I mean,
putting Alabama
like
number one.
It's like they threw a dart at the board and just said, let's go Alabama.
Just grab any one of these teams and just make them number one. Why not Alabama? They got 63 of the 65 first place votes. And nothing against Oklahoma, but I swear, I think sometimes when I see these, it's just some voter going, screw it. I'm not going to vote for Alabama.
Yeah.
Again. I'm just going to vote for Oklahoma or
it's
somebody
like,
else.
It's like Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting.
Right. Right. You There's know, always like that one rogue guy that's like, I'm not voting for everybody.
Yeah. I can't vote for him, even though I have 10 choices and he
right.
makes all the sense in the world.
Even though he's a shoo-in, I'm going to abstain from voting for him. I'm going to vote for him next year. I swear I think, because most, as most people know, these coaches, it's all like the SIDs anyway. So, it's like coaches go, yeah, give me the, all right, you fill it out for me. But I think there's just two rogue guys that just went, nah, I'm voting for Oklahoma.
Think it was Clemson or Georgia?
Might have been, yeah. Might have been. So Alabama, obviously, number one favorite coming in. Now, look, this is my yearly explanation for those of you who are new to the show. I say this every year, and it's kind of like, yeah, well.
Explain it to me.
Here's explaining. So people rail against this every single year. They go, oh, why do we even do this? You know, it's ridiculous. The season hasn't even started yet, and yet we've got a top 25. And I always go, hold on. There's a couple of reasons why it's done. One, it's tradition. college football's always done it. Two, it's a sport that likes to create these kind of talking points anyway. It always has. It always likes to have a debate, a little bit of fan base on fire. You know, they like these kind of things. Like, you're going to get worked up if your team is ninth over, you know, behind somebody, maybe even a rival. People like to do that. College football has always liked to sort of poke the bear, if you will, at these fan bases. But the other reason they do it is it's a marketing tool, and that's the biggest reason why you have a preseason poll. You don't go into the season, for most people, college football, as Pete Futek has told us many times, college football is very regional, very regional. And if you live in, you know, again, in the Southeast like I do, it may not be in your best interest, you know, to follow Oregon or Washington or USC. Right. You know, you just want to follow the local teams in your area. You might be an alumni of Ole Miss, and really the only thing you care about is the SEC. You're not really watching Pac-12 After Dark or anything like that. So how does college football market the bigger games to those people who live in areas of the country where they just want to concentrate on the Big Ten, or they want to just concentrate on the Big 12, or the SEC, or the ACC, or whatever it is? They just want to follow their team and whoever plays their team. And man, it's great that they play football out west, but I don't stay up that late. How they do it is by putting these numbers next to these teams, so that there is a sense of that game has value. If you remove that, then how do you pitch Oregon right now at 12 against USC at 14 if they were to play, let's say, the first week of the season, right? Or even if they don't, let's say you have Oregon taking on Penn State and you live in the SEC and that's a 12 versus a 20. Or Notre Dame maybe opens the season against number 17 Indiana. These little numbers matter because it gives you a sense of, wow, that looks important to me. That looks like a game that matters. That may have implications to how we discuss this season going on. Even if we're in reality, we don't get the real verdict of where the season is until November, when the committee actually says, yeah, those polls, they're nonsense. The only thing that matters is what we're presenting you right now, and we don't follow them. You know, we may have similar teams in similar places, but we are not influenced by that whatsoever. And so, yeah, it's cool that Alabama comes in number one, and most people would have had Alabama number one no matter where you live in the country. Clemson number two, fine. Trevor Lawrence is gone, but DJ Uiagalelei is taking over, and they shouldn't miss a beat in the ACC. And Oklahoma's got Spencer Rattler, and Ohio State and Georgia are traditionally good programs. But also, in this preseason poll, if you really take a look at it, there are some teams on there that are benefiting right out of the gate. And that's Louisiana Lafayette out of the Sun Belt. They're ranked 23rd. And Coastal Carolina, that had a fantastic season last year, getting a 24th ranking. Now, do these rankings influence the way the committee sees these teams like the computer used to back in the day? Not really. But again, if you're Coastal Carolina and every game you play this season has a 24 next to it, next to your name, or a 21 or a 20 or a 19, that really matters, because that means there's a little bit more eyeball on you, right? There's a little bit more attention to you. You must be doing something right to the average fan, because the powers that be in college football are saying so in the preseason and into the first couple of weeks of the season. And I think that's where it gets its value. I mean, in the end, is it meaningless? I mean, at its core, is it meaningless? Yeah, I mean, in the end, it's meaningless. I mean, these games have to be played, and then we have to evaluate the games that are being played. So, yes. So, Georgia sitting at 5 is good today. If they lose the first 3 games of the season, they're not 5 anymore, right? I mean, that's how we're, you know, in the end, these aren't really valuable in terms of where the season is going to go, but they are valuable for marketing, a few talking points, and it does give a little boost to programs who are going into the season ranked. If you're Lane Kiffin, for example, and you've got Ole Miss at 25, yep, it's precarious, because if you lose or you look bad in your first couple of games, you're going to lose that. Somebody else may look better, and you're going to drop that. But, you know, if you're Iowa, or if you're Indiana, or you're Miami, and you're in the teens, right, in these preseason polls, there may be a little bit more wiggle room for you. So again, I do think that we go a little overboard on the value of these in terms of saying they don't have any, they shouldn't be around. Let's like get rid of them. But I've always asked people who tell me that, and I hear that a lot. So what? So what that we have a preseason coaches poll? Like, so what that we have an AP preseason poll? Big deal. Right? Like when I go to ESPN and they're doing the bracketology now, like I saw an article yesterday that was projecting the 2022 college basketball. Like I roll my eyes at that, but I also know there's an audience for that. Like I also know that there are people that are going to click that and they're going to read that and they're going to say, oh my God, is my school, are they looking at my school in the 2022 class that's coming in as a potential five seeds? Like, what are the early thoughts on my, because I'm following recruiting and I'm following my coaching and I'm following the players that have decided not to go to the NBA. So what is the, what do the media think about my university? I know there's an audience for that. That's this. I mean, that's really this. Believe me, I can't say ever in my life that preseason polls should not exist. Do you know why? Because South Carolina has been in a few of them, and I celebrated that fact every time they'd be there. So every year that I'd see a preseason poll that had South Carolina like 11th or even 10th or even 13 or 15, whatever it is, I celebrate that. Even though I know, like you know, the games still have to be played, and this doesn't have a real impact on where the Gamecocks are going to go. So just let college football have its fun. In the next couple of years, I promise you, they're going to have a more, way more advanced way of putting teams in the postseason when they expand that thing to 12, right? They're going to make sure that none of this stuff matters, that they're going to be in control of the 12 teams that get there. So don't ask for this to disappear. You're already asking for a million things in college sports to disappear. Don't ask for this to disappear,
Just let it be.
Just let it be.
Because where would we be knowing that, you know, hey, number 17 is playing 19 on opening weekend?
That's right.
We need to know this.
We do need to know this.
And that's really what they do it for, is to make the game look more enticing than it already is.
Forgive me for, I'm going to repeat this, but I think you were on vacation when I said it. You know, talking about how regional college football is, I'm friends with Joel Klatt. And he is one of the premier analysts of college football on Fox. He does the games with Gus Johnson. And I love Joel, and I've loved Joel for a long time. I've known him forever since I started covering the Buffaloes when he was a senior quarterback there. I don't watch him as much as I should because he doesn't do SEC games. Now, don't get me wrong. When he does Texas-Oklahoma, that's a game I want to watch, right? When he does Ohio State-Michigan, that's a game I want to watch. But a lot of the games he does are running adjacent to games in the SEC that I like, that I really want to watch. And unfortunately, I don't get to see Joel call a game. And I think he's the best in the business in college football. I think he's the best in the business. And I just can't find room. I mean, I may click back and forth to see how that game's going. But I'm very SEC oriented. Don't get me wrong. I respect all the conferences. I don't think the SEC is so awesome that everybody else isn't even playing football like you may hear.
Tony, you're fine because all the teams will be in the SEC soon.
That's exactly
anyway,
right. So and eventually,
5 years from now,
eventually, I think that will happen. So maybe Joel will kick over.
Yeah.
Right?
Ohio State will be in the SEC.
All right, Michael on Twitter, I just tuned into your show talking about preseason rankings and other purposes for TV networks. You want the networks to advertise number 2 Oklahoma versus number 4 Ohio State this Saturday at 8 on ESPN. If there's a ranking, it's easier to sell it. Yeah, that's the primary reason
these
exist.
That's the whole reason.
That's the primary reason they exist.
Because rankings, you really shouldn't care about rankings probably until week 8.
Oh, absolutely. And again, think about what the committee did. Could the committee have gotten together in week 2? And started saying, "Hey guys, we'll slap a ratings out there for you." No, they wait until like mid-November, late November to start shelling this thing out, right? Well, no, October. I'm sorry, it's like late October where they start pumping this thing out. Yeah. So they give you like 6 before the season like comes to an end, but they don't do it in week 1, right? They give the college football season enough time to breathe, right? And then they go, oh, "Okay," because I'll repeat this. One, you know what, I better repeat it because it's a long, it's a little long-winded. So when I come back, I'll tell you some of the cases as to why the committee is doing what they're doing in terms of getting a late, gathering late to determine where college football stands. All right, that's coming up next, but I do want to also get to Luka Doncic signing because people are now like, he's the face of the NBA. We are just a couple of weeks removed from somebody else that was touted that as well. Where are we going with this? We'll have you for you on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Their professional parts people will test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstar batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we're talking a little college football. The preseason poll came out yesterday, so we just talked about, hey, there is some value to it, even if you think it does doesn't exist. It's there's some marketing, there's some bragging rights, there's just conversation fodder. I mean, there's some value. Does it impact the way the season is going to go? No, because the committee lets the season kind of come together a little bit. They let it breathe a little bit, and then they go in their rooms and they start. About late October is when they start kicking out these rankings. And you don't have to go back that far into the history of college football to see one of the bigger issues that it had. This was pre-playoff, of course, in 2004 when USC and Oklahoma started 1-2 in the preseason poll. And they kept being 1-2 all the way through the season because they both were unbeaten. They met for the national championship game, but there was a small issue, and that was Auburn. And Auburn entered the season unranked and started climbing up as they started winning games. And as they started winning games, they finished 13-0, but Tommy Tuberville could not get the Auburn Tigers enough sort of cred to get to upend one of those two teams, USC and Oklahoma, for the national championship game. Now, there was still a belief back then that SEC football was the best football that you had in the country, and that if you went undefeated in the SEC, my God, you're playing the best football in the country. But the way that system worked in 2004 was if you started the season 1 and you just kept winning, you just sort of remained there. And if you started the season 2 and you just kept winning, you sort of just stayed there. And so Auburn, even though they were playing in the best conference, they were coming from so far back that they were handicapped by their early position during that season. And so I think what the committee does is they're saying, look, they're not saying we're doing it because of 2004, don't get me wrong, but they know how dangerous these preseason polls and early polls can be if you're not really just letting the season come together. Because if you have a situation, like remember in the first year of the playoff, do you remember when it was Baylor and TCU who did not play a conference game, a championship game? And remember the Big 12 almost said, here, choose. They're both really good. And they went, no, Ohio State's actually getting in. And the Big 12 was like, what? All year long, we've had these two fantastic football teams. And now you're telling us neither one is going? And yeah, it was because they were off that weekend and Ohio State played Wisconsin and beat the crap out of them. And everyone said, that's the team. That's the fourth team. So the Big 12 was like, we're getting a conference championship game now. We're not letting this happen again. And that's sort of the dangers of you know, where college football can be if you just don't take a step back and go, hey, let's see where the rankings are. And I think the committee wants to say, we've got like 8 games under our belt or 6 games under our belt. Now we kind of know what we're talking about, and this is where we're going. And they've even made a point. They said over and over again, do not take what we say as a snapshot, because we'll change it tomorrow. Like, don't think because you're 1 today and you didn't lose, you'll be 1 tomorrow. That's not how it's going to work. All right, I want to get to Luka Doncic because yesterday he signed his big contract, another extension off his rookie deal, $207 million. He's 22. And he sort of came together in the league with Trae Young. Atlanta got, you know, they basically sent Dallas Luka Doncic, and they got Trae Young, and it seemed to work out for both teams over the last couple of years. And naturally, when a young player like Luka, who's just beyond phenomenal and really is worth every price of admission, he's the kind of player that you would go see if he came to your city, right? If Dallas came to your city, you'd want to see him in person. He's that good. But there's a conversation that's already being had about, well, you know, he's on his way. He's becoming the face of the league. Let's calm that down for a second, because we were just not far away removed from a guy that was already getting that, and he has a championship under his belt in Giannis Antetokounmpo. And oh, by the way, we still haven't really dethroned LeBron James from that position in the first place. Right? I mean, when we sort of look at these players, whether it's a Trae Young, whether it is a Luka Doncic, whether it is a Giannis Antetokounmpo, and whether it's a LeBron James, we always talk about face of the league. We do this in the NFL too. Patrick Mahomes is the face of the league, right? And yet we never define what that is. We never say, what is the criteria for this? Why do we say that, right? Is it marketability? Is it being beyond famous, meaning that extra level of fame sports athletes get that carry beyond the sports world, the sports bubble, if you will? When you're, you know, if you're LeBron James and you're in movies and people just know who you are, even if they don't watch 1 second of NBA basketball, right? Do you have to do that? Do you have to go beyond that? Like Tom Brady, you can go anywhere in the country and you can go, I mean, anywhere. You can go to the I Hate Football Club in downtown New York, if there exists one, and you'll find people that go, well, I know who Tom Brady is. You can go to a meeting of people who've never seen the NFL and they know who he is. Same with LeBron. Does that make you the face of the franchise, face of the league? Is that what we're talking about? Because we give this term out so easily that I think it loses meaning. Is Luka Doncic really the face of the NBA? Is he really? If you went around the country and asked people about Luka Doncic and you said, do you watch the NBA? And they said, no. And you said, well, I just wanted to know, have you ever heard of Luka Doncic? How many would say yes to that question?
Or not only that, but I mean, if you're talking face of the NBA, let's just throw up the image. Can anyone, if you follow the NBA and you throw that picture up there, are you going to be able to name that guy?
Right, exactly. And again, don't get me wrong. I love Luka's game. I just talked about how awesome it is and how he's worth the price of admission no matter where you live in the country.
Yes, he is.
But Giannis just won an NBA championship just a couple of weeks ago, for crying out loud. And we're already looking at Luka as the next face of the league. We haven't even given it to Giannis yet, and he has a title. Because the last time I checked, the Dallas Mavericks blew a 2-0 road lead in the playoffs to the LA Clippers. And Giannis won an NBA championship. Luka has yet to get himself on that national television level in terms of being in the NBA finals. And Giannis already did. And don't get me wrong, we still haven't really decided whether LeBron is getting this term or not, or this sort of moniker. Are we taking it away from LeBron? Right? So I think people go just a little overboard on this. And again, I tell you guys all the time, because you listen to this show, because you follow sports, we tend to live in a bubble. And I said this, Ron, I think I said this when you're on vacation. It was easy for us in the sports world to think Aaron Rodgers was automatically going to get the Jeopardy job. Why not? He's Aaron Rodgers. We love Aaron Rodgers. We know Aaron Rodgers. Why wouldn't he get the Jeopardy job? But Aaron Rodgers going up against all of those people, he's just a football player to most of America. Right? To a lot of Americans, he's just a quarterback. I mean, LeVar Burton, Katie Couric, Robin Roberts, Ken Jennings, right? I mean, all of these people had a lot more value to Jeopardy than a quarterback who played for the Packers. But in our sports bubble, we were like, of course he's getting it. Why wouldn't he? He should retire and just take it. Because we tend to see things differently than the rest of the country. LeBron James is the face of the NBA because he's the most recognizable person in the NBA. Luka Doncic is nowhere near recognizable. Now, that's not to say he won't eventually. But right now, it is silly to think that this contract extension, this signing that took place in Slovenia, now makes him the future face of this of the NBA when we have no idea how many championships Giannis is going to win, or Trae Young, or Devin Booker, or Donovan Mitchell, or anybody else in this league.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, coming up in hour two, Good, the Bad, and the Dub, and then Dave Preston, WTOP, is going to join us. We're going to wrap up the NFC East. We did the Steelers. Yeah. And then we did the worst division in football just to get it out of the way.
Pretty much.
We just like these teams.
Well, no, I mean, we have a legit question. Who's winning?
Yeah, right.
I mean, everybody we've talked to has told us, you know what? They have a chance.
I gotcha. Robert on Facebook sending me a message. Well, the NBA does not need a face. It can have many faces. There are many talented players. Why does there need to be focus on one player? And that's a really good point. And by the way, Robert's listening in Korea, so thanks a lot for that.
Wow.
I don't know what time it is in Korea, but thanks for listening.
I think it's 2 weeks from yesterday.
I'm sure it is. So, Robert, you're getting this like in the future? I don't know. It's so confusing. Nevertheless, I think he makes a very good point. I just think this is something... I think we in the media and people just feel like it should exist, and there's nothing to it.
Well,
right?
We need that in every sport, don't we?
Right. We do it in every sport. It's not just the NBA.
Yeah.
We talk about the NFL all the time when it comes to this.
And Major
all
League Baseball.
That and Major League
Mike
Baseball.
Trout needs to be the face of the Major League Baseball.
And it's a great point, because Mike Trout, remember they said, if Mike Trout's going to be the face of Major League Baseball, he's got to play in New York or Boston or someplace on the East where most people live.
Or just play in a postseason.
Right, just get in the postseason. It is something that we feel like it should exist, and it really shouldn't, because there's just good players all around.
Yeah,
like if you live in Atlanta, do you care if Luka Doncic is getting the NBA love?
No,
more love.
Listen, you talk about it all the time. You know, we can look at these sports as regional. I mean, NFL's probably the only one that's mainstream that we do care what the Seahawks are doing, even though we live in Florida.
Right.
You know, type deal. But with basketball, with baseball, Atlanta will care more about Trae Young than they will about anybody else in the league right now.
Of course, right?
As they should.
And that's just the way it should be, right? I mean, you know, like if I am 4 hours from Atlanta, and I already talked to my daughter about, we got to go see Trae Young one weekend. Like, we got to boogie down there, get, you know, we'll take the family, we'll get tickets, you go to Coca-Cola World or whatever, just to keep people entertained. We got to go to a basketball game. I want to see Trae Young. That's the one thing about living in Nashville I don't like. I don't like not having an NBA team in the city. I don't like having a Major League Baseball team either, but I used to love going to Nuggets games when they were crap, and I could get, like, hey, buy one, get 17 free.
Yes. Right?
You know, used to cut coupons out. You know, you'd be like, all right, this is a 2-for-1 Nuggets $5 ticket. You know, because I liked seeing other teams come in. That was my thing. I didn't care if the Nuggets won or lost. They were, at the time I was taking my family, they were bad. But we could see good players come in. I mean, that's the way the NBA sells itself.
That was for years how the Clippers sold tickets.
That's right. Robert's right. The league has so many talented players. They're not selling one guy, right? If you're in Cleveland and the Cavaliers stink and you have season tickets, you're seeing Devin Booker every now and then. You're seeing Luka. You're seeing Trae Young, Giannis. I mean, there's a list of players that you would want to keep your season tickets just to be entertained by their ability to play basketball. So, yeah, I don't think it. By the way, he said that it's Wednesday, 8:41 p.m. there. So, good. That's great.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, very... You are 14 hours ahead of where I am right now.
Yeah. Like I said, 2 weeks from yesterday.
That's right. So,
because I don't math.
This show might have some, we did this with the, how far was Tokyo from us? 13?
Isn't it the same as
we
Korea?
Had to do with, maybe, I don't know.
I thought they were neighbors.
I don't know. I think they are, yeah, but I don't know if they're in the same time zone.
That'd be weird. Well, I guess it's not weird. I mean,
Now you're going to make me look this up during the break, and I don't want to look it up during the break.
No, you don't need to.
I want to go make toast and have some juice.
I thought Korea was closer to us than Japan.
Don't make me get a map. I don't know.
You know, someone's going to answer it for us.
No, I'm not sure of these things. I don't know. So I said at the top of the hour, get ready for the paralysis by analysis of the NFL preseason, because it's coming Thursday night. Watch Belichick with Cam Newton and Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And watch people look at that game. That game coming up on Thursday night, they're playing Washington. You watch, how many snaps did Cam get? How many snaps did Mac Jones get? And I look, I'm not saying it's not important. This is a critical year for the Patriots. It really is. It's not Super Bowl or bust. I'm not saying that. But can you imagine if Belichick goes 6-10? Or no, sorry, 6-11. See, I'm going to do it all year long.
That's all right.
If he goes 6-11 or 5-12 or 7-10.
See, now you're just doing math.
Right now, that's my brain kicking into overdrive to make up for the error of saying 16 games. Right, he can't have back to like he cannot have back to back losing seasons.
No, because that proves that right? You know, that entire time we get the chicken and the egg argument solved
all the time, where people are like, we haven't had a Super Bowl champion bring back everybody, and look at the Buccaneers bringing back everybody.
Right,
and here's the thing though, the Buccaneers, everyone's now thinking that they're the Super Bowl favorite because they bring back everybody. That's great that they won the Super Bowl on their particular journey that year. But that, you know, remember that team, they were a wild card team, right? They're not going to be a wild card team this year. They're going to win that division. But you can't make these predictions. You don't know. You have no idea how the season is going to. The same Buccaneers team that went on the road and beat Green Bay is the same team that could go to Tampa and beat the Buccaneers. You don't know. But what Brady is going to have this year is that. Last year we gave him a pass, right? Last year we were like, hey, it's a new team, new system. Well, you know, if they struggle, they struggle. But Brady's getting some new life somewhere else. This year, he's going in as the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and he's going to ride that for a while everyone's going to look at New England and go, could they even make the playoffs? Even with an expanded playoff, can they even make the playoffs? If you're Belichick, this is a critical training camp / preseason to make sure you've got the right guy under center. If Mac Jones impresses Belichick so much that he thinks he can win with a rookie quarterback, that kid's playing. Belichick will play him. He will not go to some sort of standard like, well, we got to play more of a veteran. If that kid outshines Cam Newton in camp, then he's playing. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I think Cam Newton will outshine him and show a little bit more veteran savvy at that position. But I don't think Belichick will hesitate 1 second playing if he play Mac Jones. By the way, speaking of the Patriots, did you hear about Hunter Henry? Your boy Hunter Henry from former Charger?
That guy's, that guy's career is cursed.
I know. So here's the story. This is really interesting. So by the way, and you know how the Patriots are with injuries, right? They're like, Brady's questionable. What are you going to do? Remember, they used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And Hunter Henry suffered a shoulder injury. And early in the week, it happened on Sunday, early in the week, they said, it's not serious. And then they went, he'll miss a week or so. And then yesterday they went, he's going to miss a couple of weeks, but it's not serious. All right. If he doesn't play in the preseason and he missed the rest of camp. All right. If that's not serious, if that's your definition, that's not serious. But can we just do the we'll see with the New England Patriots when it comes to these injury reports? Like, can we just sit back and go, eh, I'll pay attention to you on opening day, on the first game of the season. If Hunter Henry's playing, then you win. Then you win the battle of it wasn't serious. But if somehow, some way, Hunter Henry's not in the offense at all, then I'm going to start thinking maybe it was a little bit more to it.
See, I think Belichick does this on purpose to ruin people's fantasy drafts.
Ah, okay.
Because now you draft Hunter Henry.
Right.
You know, when you get down
to
your tight
ends,
like when you get fifth, sixth round pick, seventh round pick.
If you were,
I don't know. I mean, it was always hard to, you know, just him being with the Chargers because you couldn't tell whether he was going to be healthy or not.
I'm curious about this. If you're a fantasy guy, and I stink at fantasy, as you know, last year, because the Nashville Hot Chickens finished dead last or close to last in our Sports Map Fantasy League. If you're a fantasy person, do you take Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry if you had the choice of either one?
Yes.
In the Patriots offense? Where do you go?
I say yes.
I would say yes. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, no idea. I mean, it's absolutely a great question.
I'm leaning towards Jonnu Smith because I know him better in that offense, but I have no idea what Belichick, like which type of tight end, like if he were to differentiate between the two, which one he likes more.
Who's going
to
be more in the running play situation versus the passing play situation?
You can't have an offseason like the Patriots have and not be like, we have got to. We have, you know, because I excused the Patriots last year at 7-9, right? I said, look, listen, they were livid with COVID. I mean, they had COVID opt-outs.
Yeah.
Cam Newton had COVID. Didn't look like he even recovered properly.
Like
it was
eight members on their defense opted
out. So better players on their defense decided not to play.
So, I mean, yeah, you have to assume that they're going to be better this year.
Right.
And I have to assume that they're going to be a better than 500 team.
And it goes back to my original point. That's what's going to happen on Thursday. No matter what happens in that game and how much we devalue preseason and we say, oh, well, you know, it's preseason. What do you want? There are still going to be people going, yeah, I got a lot to dissect about this one. Right. I you know, what I saw from Mac Jones against the Washington second team defense makes me think he's the starter. Or what I saw from Mac Jones makes me think he's got a long way to go to develop in this league. Like, you're going to hear that. Like, the guys can't even get one – a rookie can't even get one worthless preseason game under their belt. But it happens more on teams that are desperate to see progress, right? If you've got a team like the Buccaneers or the Packers and you know the starters aren't really going to play, you're okay with how terrible they may look. You don't need them to look awesome. But if you're a team that went 7-9 last year and you need to make the playoffs for other reasons than just making the playoffs, then there is going to be a more analysis on you. There is going to be more feeling of, hey, what can I do? How can I dissect this at all? You know, that's just the way preseason is. I've told you guys many times, I've been to plenty of preseason games where I didn't even remember what happened as I was walking in my car. And yet the next day when I would do my show in Colorado, people would be like, but that throw in the third quarter by Bradley Van Pelt was on the money. And if he can do that kind of stuff, he's going to be the starter. And I'd be like, yeah, about that. Did he even play? I can't remember if he even played. Usually because I was stuffing my face with a brownie or something free from the cafeteria. And I was just at the game to get some sound afterwards. I wasn't really paying attention. But that's preseason football. People do. We just talked about how don't take away the preseason polls. Like, it's just tradition. It's just, you may not like them and they may seem a little weird that we haven't played. Same with preseason. Like, don't tell people to ignore preseason. Like, if they want to overanalyze it, let them overanalyze it. That's kind of the joy of fandom. And oh, by the way, what else are we going to do in August? Right?
Exactly.
It's all we got. It's one of the deader months. So that's happening Thursday night. There's two games, actually. Washington and New England and Pittsburgh against Philadelphia. Oh, I forgot. Philadelphia should be worse, right?
Sure.
Right?
I mean, again, they're
in the
NFC
East. We just
got done
talking to Barrett Brooks yesterday.
Yeah, no, but again.
No, in terms of the fan analysis and overreaction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you think in New England, they're going to go crazy over what happened in between Mac Jones and Cam Newton. What do you think people in Philadelphia will look like if Jalen Hurts and that offense stinks in the first two series of the game or first three plays of the game, which is maybe all they play?
And you did something that even the Eagles haven't done, and that's assume Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback.
That's right.
Even though he finished the season last year, we can't name him that.
Because Joe Flacco's in camp, and we know Flacco. Let's get wacko for Flacco. Everybody seems to whenever he arrives.
Right?
I love Joe Flacco. I just totally took the Ravens and were like, thank you. I'll take all of the money.
Appreciate and just play myself into obscurity.
I give you this Super Bowl. You give me money. And then that's it.
And we'll call it a day.
All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Oh, by the way, Japan is closer. They are in the same time zone.
There we go.
Robert, in Korea.
Hey, all right. Same time zone.
Thank you, Robert and Korea, for letting us know.
Thought
that.
They were next door to each other.
You're right. Don't forget hour two, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, and then we'll preview Washington as we continue our previews at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Dave Preston will join us to talk Washington. Kind of curious about Washington. Remember last year, the Tyler Henneke was the guy? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, because he just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He had that good game in the playoffs, but he lost to Tampa Bay.
And he'll probably end up getting a starting job at some point down the road, because here's my prediction. Fitzpatrick will throw for 500-plus yards for like the first 3 to 4 games.
Right.
And then become the Fitz magic will have worn off.
Isn't that sort of the MO of this guy?
Yeah.
He is your starter until inevitably you go, it's safe for him not to be the starter anymore.
Yeah,
like now is the time.
I mean, he only signed a 1-year deal.
Right. Look, we've said this many times about Fitzpatrick. While he has not had the Brady Manning, Hall of Fame career, he has made an amazing living finding his niche as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He has been fantastic. He has embraced the role of pure journeyman. You can trust me if you're in a transitional state, right? Like, that's how he should sell himself. Like, he should go to GMs and go, hi, here's what I can offer. You want a young quarterback, but you don't really trust him. What would you do? You could sign a veteran that's just going to complain bitterly how he should be the starter all the time, or go with the Fitzpatrick route. The Fitzpatrick route means I'll come here, I'll be your starter until basically you decide I'm not the starter anymore, and there's no complaining. And a money-back guarantee if I don't produce a harmonious existence with your quarterbacking camp. Then that's all you need. And general managers go, sign me up. Can I get a year package, a 2-year package? And Fitzpatrick goes, yeah. We're having a special right now. That's basically how he's made his living. And it's been fantastic.
Pay for two, get the third for free.
Right. I mean, it has been amazing.